You're listening to the Adding Value Podcast. I'm Chris Singleman. I am sitting here with Wesley in our respective homes, and I'm thinking about how our entire working relationship has been virtual. I started when we were all remote already. Isn't that right?
That's correct. I feel like I don't even know what you look like in person.
That's right. You know what I look like from the chest up, I suppose. but I was fortunate enough to briefly meet you during the interview process with New Breed, and that's it. But now I host a podcast with you.
That's right. The very first thing you said to me was, wow, you're a lot taller than I thought.
That's right. But as we know, this is not uncommon. A lot of people pivoted towards working from home back in March. I think our particular roles made it a lot easier to function with, you know, relative normalcy, and it made that transition definitely easier, but that definitely cannot be said for everyone.
You mean like event planners?
Yes, I do mean like event planners. It's almost like you know what this episode is about. The transition to work from home and virtual had a huge impact on events and conferences for a lot of businesses in our space. You know, South by Southwest and Adobe Summit, they come to mind as being really big names that, you know, were forced to close and cancel in the wake of coronavirus.
Right. And events are massive for so many companies, kind of regardless of what industry you're in, actually. I feel like people a lot of times think, oh, trade shows, that's the only thing that matters. But outside of like B2B in that manufacturing space, events are huge. They're a massive lead gen opportunity. It's a way to meet your customers when you haven't met them before. For us, a lot of our events are the first time we meet a lot of our clients. It's also another way that you can announce products and make big announcements for your company. And a lot of people plan their marketing strategy at the beginning of the year around those events that are going to occur during the year.
Right. You're absolutely right, because events also serve a huge purpose for the people that are attending them. You know, it's an opportunity to engage with people in the field. It's an opportunity to engage with prospects, like you said. Depending on the company that you're at, if you're not the one hosting the event, you might have events that you attend on an annual basis to suit your marketing goals. Here at New Breed, we mark our calendars every year for HubSpot's annual event, Inbound. This year's iteration of Inbound that was supposed to happen in September also had to go fully virtual. And I'm curious, before we even get into it, what your impression was of Inbound as an attendee.
I thought it was insane. I mean, that's kind of like, if I had to sum it up in one word, it would be insane. I think timing was interesting with Inbound because it was kind of the first one, at least that I saw, that had to take such a large, I mean, Inbound is a massive event. We're not talking like a couple hundred people. This is a huge event with major speakers, major people,
like
huge revenue for companies. It's not just like, oh, let's just do a little, you know, Zoom call online and call it Inbound. Like, they couldn't do that. And to see kind of like the virtual space of, or I guess you could call it like the future of events, was insane. And also in a time when like a lot of things were rough for a lot of people and trying to navigate this, it was really, really like uplifting to see the possibilities that come from something like this and how cool that experience could be.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think for you and I, this was both our first experience with Inbound, right?
Yes.
First experience with Inbound, yeah. But if you had told me that this is what it was like every year, I would have believed you. Like the amount of work and effort that went into creating this event, I was like, well, this must be an online event all the time, because it was just so seamless, so authentic. I was like truly blown away by what HubSpot had been able to put together, especially on the timeline that we had. So with that in mind, I decided to sit down with some of the folks behind the event from HubSpot and get a better sense of how they accomplished it.
The biggest thing is that, and we kept on getting this from our leadership, Kim Darling, who heads up the Inbound team, is that we still, even though we were online, wanted it to feel like it was an event. And I think Alyssa, you know, I see her nodding. It's true. Like, it was the 2-day event of Inbound, and we were creating this online platform, but we wanted people to feel excited. We wanted people to feel like, wow, there are things that are happening across the 2 days of Inbound that I can't miss. And sort of that same kind of fever pitch of excitement, which I think we actually ended up pulling off.
That's Courtney Dagger. She is Inbound's senior marketing manager, and she played a huge role in selecting and framing this year's content. And something that I thought was really interesting, and we mentioned in the beginning, is that virtual events aren't entirely uncommon. A lot of people implement webinars into their marketing strategy, and that's kind of the standard for virtual events. It's this idea where you log on, you're watching somebody's content. There might be some level of interactivity, but not a ton. And I think as people started to pivot towards virtual events in the beginning of the year, it was kind of this idea of like, well, let's just throw a multi-day webinar, which doesn't exactly inspire a ton of excitement. What do you think?
So many events, quote unquote, I guess, are just a string of pre-recordings. And while that can still provide value, that's not the same experience. If you're trying to duplicate that feeling of, like she said, missing out on something or needing to be there, there has to be some element of live interaction or something that you really need to be there live for, which I think they did that really well. A huge part of Inbound's success was the diversity of content that they brought to the table. So how did they do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in previous years, you know, like any big event like Inbound, the selection of content really just came down to people submitted for ideas of what they wanted to talk about. And then they picked speakers that fit a particular theme and the educational content that they wanted to give to their attendees. But, you know, that obviously gets completely turned on its head when you have to figure out how to move things to a virtual event. So this year, it really ended up being a determination of A, who was going to speak, like always, but also B, what was the proper format that this should take? Would this talk be good as a recording? Do attendees need an opportunity to ask questions to this particular speaker? And I asked Courtney about this, and she had this to say.
We kind of threw out the game plan that we had, where normally we have a lot of like 45 minute or so educational sessions. That's the bulk of our content on-site at Inbound. We realized that was probably too long. So we sort of thought of ourselves as what we called like content segment producers, like you would see for a morning show or something, where you are trying to look at what sort of stories are we trying to tell and what is the correct medium to tell them in. Is it video? Great. If it's video, is this just a pre-recorded video or will there need to be a live component as well? Or should it be entirely live? So we had all different pieces happening there. And in the same vein, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be over video. Maybe it can be something that someone can just listen to while they're going about their daily life and sort of producing some of that audio content as well. So that was a really, honestly, fun challenge. I mean, at times I would say classically trying challenge where I was like, oh, I really just wish we were in person because I know how to do that. But it was a fun challenge for all of us to just reimagine what we could do and start playing around with those content segments for sure.
What I love about what she just said is that in a nutshell, I think to me, that's what made Inbound so different than any other conference or event, even virtual that I've been to, is that they did such a good job of making it a diverse experience. Like it wasn't just all webinars. The fact that they included audio stuff is amazing because so many people commute. And if you're thinking about, okay, we no longer have people's attention, you know, in a conference room for hours. Instead, we may have people in their car during their commute. We have exactly. All different time zones. Like they crushed that. And that made it so much cooler of an experience. It made it feel very different from your typical virtual event.
I love what you said about time zones, because one of the things that really surprised me during my conversation was that the sheer amount of content that HubSpot was able to produce, I mean, they had something like over 200 speakers, made content available 24/7. You know, if you think about a standard event, it's like you are here in this space from 9 to 5, whatever it may be, but you're in this space and you're going to consume the content that they can readily present you, and you might not be able to get to all of it, especially if they have breakouts or whatever like that. But now that it was moved online, that's really not the case anymore. You have the access to these things whenever you want to consume them. And because of that, it made Inbound a much more global event. So things were available 24/7. And HubSpot is a global company, but Inbound takes place in Boston every year. And so you're kind of limited by the folks who are willing and capable of traveling to Boston for this annual event. No longer. They can just log on from wherever they are. And, you know, they usually expect and aim for about 30,000 attendees when they schedule this event in person. And that's what they're shooting for this year. And they had 71,000 registrants for Inbound.
That's insanity.
I know. And what's even like crazier is that I was talking to Courtney and she said that if they were to do it again, she would literally double down on content.
I mean, I think a big thing for me moving forward is the appetite's there. So I would have doubled down on even more content that was really would pop and be exciting for people around the world and happening at times that also worked for people depending on where they were joining us from.
It's crazy too, because it's so easy to say like, oh, it's a negative thing that it's online. But the truth is, like you said it, they had all of this content available 24/7 for all these hours. And I was one of them. I was watching things way outside of the hours I would have even been able to handle had I been in person, because I was online and could take the breaks I needed or it worked around my schedule. And I probably honestly consumed more sessions and speakers this way than I would have had I even gone in person, because it's just a totally different experience. And I got to see more and experience more because of the fact that it was virtual, which is just crazy to think about.
Exactly. And, you know, as a, it to me, when I was thinking about it going into it, I was like, I'm not going to be able to have the time to do these things because, yeah, I'm attending this event, but it's also a traditional work day for me. I have things that I have to get done, but it made it so easy to be like, just like you said, watch when I could or watch when I want to or consume things in different formats. So I didn't feel like my attention had to be deviating from what I was actually doing. And we got to see that firsthand. I mean, we had two presenters from New Breed, Beth and Guido, and they came in different formats. Guido's talk was a live presentation with Q&A happening as it was going on, whereas Beth was a recorded session with questions and answers coming afterwards. And I think that that just serves to prove that there are different ways that you can approach content to capture that interactivity and the networking and the just different consumption habits of different attendees.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, including myself, my biggest question when I heard like, okay, this is online, is you lose that. You know, you can walk up to the speaker after their speech and, you know, ask them questions. And I, even in my head, will be the first to admit, I thought, are people really going to ask questions? I mean, I help host New Breed's webinars and we get a limited amount of questions. But I was in Guido's live talk and I was astounded. I mean, he couldn't even get to all the questions. He only probably got a third of the way through all the questions that came through. There were so many people asking questions and commenting, and it wasn't just a comment here or there. It was like crazy in-depth questions that they really wanted answers to. People were resending them in the chat. Like the level of engagement blew my mind in terms of, oh, I'm not just, you know, watching this on the screen next to me. People were very, very much active as if they were there in person, if not more, honestly, because yeah, they could actually submit their question through the chat.
Yeah. And it's like your hand is raised at a live event. You're hoping to be called upon, but now it's kind of like an open book. You have the opportunity to get engaged. And it's interesting that you mentioned interactivity and networking because that was a huge goal. I spoke with another member of the Inbound team. That's Alyssa Sheridan. She was Inbound's senior project manager who handled a huge amount of the event's operations. And she really touched upon the importance of Inbound's interactivity.
Some of the things we thought about was creating a sense of place. And I think, you know, that was sort of why the website looked like it did when you went to live.inbound.com, is creating something where attendees felt like they had stepped into something or a moment in time and not just posting a bunch of videos on inbound.com and like leaving it as is. We built this platform from scratch. It wasn't an out-of-box solution. We hired a company to actually build it for us. So we built a chat knowing we needed a chat, but going forward, I'd say even more functionality would be amazing.
I love what she said about creating a moment, or like, in my words, like a feeling, because I think that's what Inbound did so well. Because to her point, even the website, you opened the Inbound website during the conference or the virtual space, I guess you could call it. And you felt like you were with people. You didn't just feel like you were viewing a website. You saw little people moving around and they created truly like an atmosphere that made you feel like it was an event or there was something to miss if you left. And that I think is really easy to overlook the importance of that. But to her point, if you would have just logged on and it was like, here's a video library, go ahead and click in. It's not the same. They truly made it feel like you were inside of something that was occurring that was a very special thing to be a part of.
100%. The virtual space was probably like my favorite aspect of the event, just as like a creative and design focused person. It looked and felt so real. I think, you know, for lack of a better word, there, it's the closest you're going to get to actually being there.
It was like a video game in a sense. Like that's when I tell people about it, that's the best way to do it. It was literally like being in a video game, like The Sims, where everybody was running around. Like it had that same feeling only through a conference.
I'm so glad you mentioned video games because when I spoke to Alyssa about the virtual event space and their, you know, the focus and their goals for creating that, one of the first things that she mentioned was the idea that they were inspired by video games.
We got to play around a little bit because this is, if you could host this anywhere in a digital realm, like where would you do it? So we were like, Fenway Park would be so cool. And there were a lot of just fun nods that we put in, even for ourselves. Like there is a park in there where I believe you clicked on to like edit your avatar that is actually just a park that's across the Charles River right near HubSpot's office. So if you recognize it, we put the green line in there. So it's a little bit of fun to just like play around with some of those ideas. And then the inspiration though really came from video games, I think. Video games and EA sports and things like that are like just doing wild things, and they've had this mastered for years. So it seemed really natural to sort of do that, and they have also created great online communities. So we kind of took a page out of their book and said, you know, when you step into something, like what could it potentially look like for anybody that was, you know, roller coaster tycoon sim kid like I was. It was really fun to sort of see this and the colors and everything come to life.
So, I mean, it's exactly how you described. It is like this sense of, I mean, for lack of a like childish wonderment, you're kind of in there. It feels like something you know. It feels like something you recognized. And it really helped us, you know, kind of feel like the moment was lived in. You know, they every year Inbound is hosted in Boston. It's a really important part of the HubSpot brand. So to be able to attach this virtual space and make it look as close to Boston as they possibly could was a really important aspect of creating the event. It needed to feel like it always does feel like, as much as it could be, even though it was online. So it kind of helped establish that like there was something always going on versus I'm tuning in and out to different pieces of content. But I think the most important element about the virtual space is that both Courtney and Alyssa were cognizant of the fact that they really did have the benefit of time. You know, Inbound isn't until August or September in most cases. It was in September this year. A lot of events that were canceled early in the year didn't have time to pivot, or if they did, it was very minimal. So they actually went ahead and they hired an outside agency to create this space for them in the couple of months that they had available to them.
When you say space, let's for people at home or whoever are listening right now that can't see it, like what are we referencing, right? We're talking about the fact that you logged in on a website, there was little virtual people, there were different rooms for webinars, there was company rooms, right? Like all of those elements are what we're referring to when we're talking about that space or that virtual space.
Exactly. That's a great way of putting it. I mean, you logged on and you opened up the window and it was just a cityscape of, you know, Boston. There were billboards with ads from sponsors. There was the, as you described, like the little, like I personally feel like they're like the Wii Mii's, like the little characters on your Wii walking around. You could customize them so that you could represent yourself in this space. And you're just kind of moving around from space to space. There were public networking areas where you could just join chats and videos that were going on in the moment. You could visit sponsor rooms like you described, a New Breed. We got to have one and it was really kind of fun to be on the back end of that and seeing how they put it together and creating a space that, you know, if I were at a conference and I walked into the conference floor and I walked up to a booth, this is exactly what it would look like if it were on my computer.
Right. And it was a great for us because as we had speakers at the conference, and so for instance, Guido, who spoke at the conference, was able to say, you know, if you have more questions for me, just like you would if you're in a real conference room, you can stop by the New Breed virtual booth. And when they popped into the booth, they were greeted by our team. Like they covered all areas, right? Like they made sure to do as much as possible so that it would mimic the real experience you would have had.
Absolutely. But I also think it's important to note that even though the HubSpot had the ability or the Inbound team had the ability to go out and hire this team, and you know, it to us as attendees, it really seemed like a very seamless process to bring it all online. There were definitely some operational challenges that accompany hosting something of this scale. So like I said earlier, you know, there are over 200 speakers at Inbound this year. So not only did they have to go ahead and be segment planners, as Courtney so wonderfully likens them to, but they also had to figure out how they were going to produce this content.
We had worked together on breakout content before on the live components, but we even more so had to be super in sync. Like, who is this? I had to know who, as an operations person, who is the speaker? When are they getting recorded? Do they have their backdrop if they needed a backdrop? Yes. Do they have a microphone we sent them? Like all those nitty gritty details. Whereas before, Courtney would say, okay, we're going to have X number of sessions, I need X number of stages. And I could just kind of go off and be like, this room will look like this, this room will look like this. And I am not a video producer. So this was whole new world. I know Courtney isn't either. So we learned a ton.
Well, and we actually worked with a professional video production vendor.
Yes.
So we were in a situation where we were, every single video or audio segment had a professional producer attached to it. And that's something that we had the luxury of doing because we're just lucky enough that Inbound had those resources. And I think that really does provide a really nice professional edge to the finished project.
As a video producer, the idea that they had individual producers attached to each video is huge. I mean, you experienced some of the production efforts here at New Breed. It is no small feat.
It's also crazy because you think, like, that's to me something you don't think about when you think of, you know, switching to virtual events is that when everybody shows up to the same space, you just set up the stage and it's ready to go. You have people on command. That's how it works. But what do you do when everybody's in their own living room or their own kitchen or their own office now working remote, and you want all those people to do their speeches, but you don't want one person's to look, you know, weaker or less produced than someone else's. Not to mention HubSpot added all of this content to a massive library that everyone that registered for Inbound can get afterwards. And you don't want, to the same point, you know, some of those videos to be super well produced and great lighting, and some of them it's hard to see. Like, that's not a good experience, and it doesn't look good for the HubSpot brand either.
Exactly. You have to remember that you're basically taking something that you had a lot of control over in the past and disseminating it out to hundreds of people. I mean, you bring up a great point in terms of production value. Having things that look distinctly different can really take away from that experience and really take away from the overall brand of Inbound. And with a virtual event, you simply do not have the same level of control over audiovisual.
So then my next question naturally is, how did they not have a crash, a technical error? Because I'll be honest with you, my attendance at the event, my first thought, I mean, think about when everybody rushes to a site to buy something the day it launches. You have those crashes, you have errors, like it's everybody's biggest fear. So did they say anything about how they were prepared for those or how they addressed technical errors?
We were deep in it, I think, when we realized like, we might need to re-record this, or mostly we relied on re-recording or having them record on their own and downloading it to the computer and then sending it to us. Kind of depends on what perspective you're going for, though. From our attendee perspective, what was really challenging was, and sort of a hindsight, is how many people had firewalls, had some internet providers actually block certain sites. And there was some we started to play tech support a little bit on site, and it was challenging because when, as event planners, you just want to solve everybody's problems, and it's easy to do so when you're on site. It's easy to make somebody happy when you're on site. But when you're stuck where your solution is, I really need you to call your IT department in your company to talk about firewalls. That's not always the best answer. And so that was a little tough, and that was definitely a challenge, but I think we will look for ways to resolve it or try to arm our attendees a little bit better with.
Definitely. And yeah. I'd also say, you know, something we knew going into it, and we set expectations with ourselves, is that with any sort of event like this, any event, honestly, not just an online event, you're going to have something go not according to plan. So that we knew that was coming. Mm-hmm. But even, you know, if you have someone out there who's saying, well, easy, I'll pre-record all my videos and I'll be all set to go. We even had issues, unexpected issues, where, you know, a pre-recorded video, we had some issues loading it or something like that. So the point being that I think anybody who's thinking about any sort of online something, you just have to be prepared for some things will go wrong. The hope is that you just have a flexible team who's on it and they're able to jump in and sort of right the ship as quickly as possible.
I mean, you're absolutely right. The idea that you don't have all the control is something that is like likely one of the biggest challenge threads that I was starting to note from talking to both Courtney and Alyssa. You don't have the same level of control when you are the event planner in your space that you've been working in and working to set up all the audiovisual needs, all the internet infrastructure and all of that jazz that just goes into creating a very high production value piece. So what Alyssa and Courtney both said is that they spent a lot of time doing personal one-on-one connecting with speakers and making sure that they felt comfortable to deliver the best possible final product of their presentation. You know, and even from the non-technical aspect, you and I both know very well when we're doing company presentations or presenting our marketing report or whatever it may be, not having like the visual of your audience in front of you and gauging their reaction, knowing where to pivot your presentation style is like a huge shortcoming of virtual presentations. I mean, Guido even said it himself. He's like, I don't know how they're reacting to me in the moment because I can't see the chat and I can't see their faces. So you just, as a presenter, from both a technical and a, you know, personal perspective, the challenges presented by doing things virtually are a lot.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's some things that were like, this is so much better virtual. And there's other things that were like, you know, this is a little bit negative to your point. The biggest one has to be like, you cannot strictly replace, right, the value that it is to meet face-to-face with somebody. We can all agree on that. We're not saying that that's ever going to be a thing. But what we are saying is that Inbound did and HubSpot did a great job of doing the best that they possibly could have done in the situation that they were in to give the best experience in lieu of what was happening and that they couldn't be in person.
Yeah, 100%. I think that the, and Alyssa spoke about this really well in terms of like the need and the necessity for chat functionality and how they needed to make sure that that was something that folks could engage with in real time. They even made changes to the chat functionality while the event was going on to make sure that it was more user-friendly and could fulfill the needs that some users were asking for about, like, you know, just being able to copy and paste from within the chat, which, you know, previously was a security issue, but because enough users asked for it, they were able to turn it around and make it was something that was more accessible to them. And just this idea of, like, you're right, you're never going to be able to exactly one-to-one replicate the networking experience of a live event. But I think, like you said, Inbound definitely did the best with what they were with what they had. And I wanted to touch upon just one other challenge that they talked about a little bit. And we actually were talking about this just the other day as an internal team. You know, we kind of live under the assumption as digital marketers that people are just always online. They have the best access to Wi-Fi. Your Wi-Fi is great. Our computers are great. But that is just simply not the case.
I will say that one of the biggest learnings for myself, and I think I can also speak for Alyssa on this, is people do not have reliable Wi-Fi. It is the most fascinating thing to come out of this experience, because we were dealing with over 200 speakers. And if you had asked me before what I thought, you know, with at this point, or what we were 6 months into people working from home, I would have thought everyone had really reliable setups. It was remarkable to me how many people did not have reliable setups. And also, you know, that means both their Wi-Fi, but even the computers they were working off of. So that was, and that was something we had found with our attendees as well.
You know, they're dealing with scenarios where they have to figure out, can we continue to do this as a live event? Are their is their wireless going to enable them to do that? Is their wireless going to enable them to join this live event? And then also the idea that some folks don't always necessarily know how to operate a webcam. They don't know how to operate this webcam that they were sent directly from Inbound to ensure that premium production value. They don't know how to set up the banner behind them. Much like Courtney and Alyssa and their teams to being, as you know, now virtual event planners, a lot of people were taken out of their element. You know, it can be very easy to be a in-person presenter for some folks that can feel very comfortable doing it. But as we've already talked about, it can be very different once you're put in a scenario where, like, you're now in charge of a lot of things you were not previously in charge of.
Yeah, I mean, it's nerve-wracking enough to get up and talk in front of hundreds of people, let alone the fact that now, I mean, we see it on my day-to-day Zoom. Zoom just quit on me and I got kicked out. And if, and my thoughts were same thing with Guido, who gave a speech at Inbound. I was like, what if his internet just goes out? Like, what do you do? You know? And it's, imagine being the people behind Inbound, giving all of that control to all the people who are speaking and just hoping, fingers crossed, that no one's internet goes out, you know, no one's computer dies because they forgot to plug it in. I mean, you're not physically there to check all of those things, you know? So the fact that it went as well as it did just spoke, I think, to the level of preparedness that all the people at Inbound were, and the level of comfort that they gave all their speakers. You know, like you said, I think it's important to note they did send them backdrops and webcams, which, and those are little things that are so important, especially for people that are listening, I think, who are trying to either do this themselves or replicate that. From a viewer's perspective for Inbound, like, all of the videos having a backdrop, it gave it more a cohesive feel, and it really did change the game. And those are very small things, but they matter. You know, it raises the bigger question here of, like, okay, I attended Inbound. My threshold now for virtual events is very high. You know, like, yeah, I want every event now. Yeah, I want every event to live up to that. And so it's kind of interesting. People, I've seen people on LinkedIn and all over social media who were talking about Inbound that weren't even there for marketing, that just saw pictures. People were sharing pictures of the little characters all over LinkedIn. And whether you were involved in, like, actual Inbound or HubSpot, people were taking notice of the way that they did that conference. And it kind of begs the question, like, did Inbound change the game in terms of virtual events? And is this the new standard? And how do you go forward?
Yeah. I mean, if you were to ask me that question, my first answer would have been like, yes. If somebody else is going to try and put on a virtual event and it's not to this level, then it's just like, you know, they're missing out. But obviously that isn't always the case. We're in, like, interesting, to say the least, circumstances right now that kind of force this scenario. But I actually asked Courtney and Alyssa whether or not they felt that this year's Inbound was now, like, that new standard that you're talking about. You know, would they move toward this virtual format on a permanent basis?
I always find questions about, like, does this become the standard? I think that that is inherently a little dangerous to say yes to, because I think that once you say that, it's easy then to rest on your laurels. Cause I, you know, we're still getting all of our feedback from attendees and the rest. And, you know, we can say though that Inbound had an overwhelmingly very, very positive response. And, you know, there's been some lovely write-ups across different publications about, you know, how it was a big success. But I think something that keeps Inbound really on the cutting edge is the fact that our leadership, both at the HubSpot level, but more at the micro level with, like we mentioned, the head of Inbound, Kim Darling, is she always wants to raise the bar. So I think that, you know, it's a little bit counterintuitive, but moving forward, we are always going to now have some sort of online digital arm of the event, which is amazing. And I really like that. And I think, you know, for all the stated reasons of access and, you know, the global audience and all the rest. But next year, I would say anybody who came to Inbound, expect something new for next year, because we're always sort of reimagining.
After talking to them, I think it really does make a lot of sense to not really necessarily commit to it as like the future of an event, because to quote them directly, this was a lot of work. I feel like anyone running a virtual event right now is definitely going to look to Inbound for inspiration. I think there's absolutely elements that you could pull from a lot of things into your webinar strategy, into if you are planning a virtual event in general, in terms of the importance of chat, whatever that may be. But it doesn't necessarily need to become the staple of virtual events.
I think it's also to note that, like, let's be honest, HubSpot and Inbound is a very large budget event. You know, people of all sizes and all industries are going to be trying to do virtual events or need to do some level to that. And what's important is, like, all of these pieces are valuable pieces. And like, for instance, if you can't afford to send everybody backdrops and webcams, you don't have to, but there are small things that you can do to kind of cultivate that same atmosphere and vibe in whatever way you can that fits in your budget. You know, it's just a very big, large scale example, but they did it really well. But there's a ton of things that we can all take away from that.
Absolutely. I think when I was speaking to Alyssa and Courtney about their takeaways and things that they would definitely like establish as this is part of the reason that Inbound is so successful, one of those first things that we've already talked about is that idea of content, that they approached content not just from a thematic element that they usually address at standard in-person events, but also this idea of format. What is the best thing to put content in and present it to your audience? How are they best going to engage with this? And even in the future, to double down on content. If you're thinking about hosting an event, what's the level of things that you can produce? How can you, you know, turn content that you already have and repurpose it and reformat it and, you know, make it more evergreen and use it to your advantage?
Right. And did they say anything about, you know, did they get any feedback on the level of networking or how people felt about it? Like, what did they say? Because to me, I saw way more interaction than I thought I was going to see in the chat and in all of that. But what did they say about that?
I was so pleasantly surprised by how closely people's behaviors coming to Inbound online mirrored people's behaviors coming to Inbound in person. Mm-hmm. So we really thought going into it, and again, we just didn't know, but we thought going into it that people were going to be casually popping in and out, maybe catching a session here or there, and then really leaning into the on-demand content library where we ended up recording all the content and having it live there after it ran live. That ended up by and large not being the case. People really seemed to clear their schedules and go to Inbound. Yes, they were just sitting at their computer, but it really felt like a majority of our attendees kind of closed up shop for 2 days and really dedicated themselves to going to our content that ran around the clock.
And, you know, in addition to the interactivity and the chat functionality that Alyssa really wants to spend more time on, an important element for both Courtney and Alyssa, and, you know, both at this year's event and moving forward, was really treating Inbound as kind of a call to remind marketers and people running events that content online has to be accessible. Web accessibility was a huge aspect of this year's event. Obviously, at any live in-person event, you need accessibility functionality to make sure that people can get anywhere that they want to go. But a lot of that does come down to the physical stuff. You know, do we have interpreters? Do we have translators? Do we have closed captioning available? And while there are one-to-one examples to that in a virtual setting, and there's additional things that you need to consider, especially as they move into a more global audience, is this content acceptable and accessible across the world where anybody could read it in any language? Can they bring more languages into their content? And that's something that they definitely want to pursue moving forward as well.
It's kind of crazy to even think about, because you think about an event like you said earlier, now it's global. So now you're considering people that would have been like, well, I'm not going to go because it's in Boston, are now like, well, I want to go and I want to be able to understand it. So now you need to meet all of those language needs, which is just insane. That's another benefit of, but it adds another hurdle with it, right? You now have to think about languages, which you never would have thought of before.
Yeah, 100%. And I think what really like stood out to me the most from the entire interview was just this idea of, you know, I was kind of blown away by Inbound. I think I can speak for you as well in the sense that you were also blown away by Inbound this year. And like the sheer amount that was accomplished, I think, you know, there's a reason I asked the question of, does this set the bar for virtual events everywhere? But what really stood out to me was that they are absolutely not finished. They are going to continue innovating. And even if Inbound 2020 doesn't become like the staple of virtual events, they are always looking for the next big thing.
What are we going to do next as an industry, right? Like, we are already thinking about how we might change the game, how we're all going to come out of this like quarantine pandemic situation, and what are we going to do to sort of be the next fun thing that you do? Because at the end of the day, we want this to be fun. So I'm looking forward to solving that challenge and encourage the whole industry, really, you know, to share this goal.
I love what she said about like, what are we going to do as an industry, as marketers, you know, as people in the workplace? Because I think that's what I love so much about Inbound, is in a time when like all of us were very stuck at home and lacking community and lacking coming together, we were all very obviously disappointed. It's a huge event for New Breed to get to go to Boston together, and it's big for our team, and you know, we get a lot of interaction out of it. And so it was refreshing, I guess you could use the word, to see, yeah, to be quote unquote at Inbound and have that experience and get to engage with other people and get a sense of community, which I think we were kind of all lacking at that time.
100%. I like how you kind of sum that up, and the idea that there is still more that can be improved upon. There's more that can be done, and we don't have to settle this. We can love Inbound 2020 for what it was and the work that they accomplished. But I feel very confident in the knowledge that they will continue to impress us with what they're creating over at HubSpot and at Inbound. Thank you so much, Wes, for joining me to talk about this today. I had so much fun talking to Courtney and Alyssa on the Inbound team at HubSpot. I think they did a phenomenal job with this year's event, and they offered a ton of great insights to anyone thinking about hosting a virtual event.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me and sharing all this with me. I was just as curious as I'm sure everyone listening to this is about how they pulled this massive event off.
Thanks for listening to the Adding Value Podcast. Special thanks to Courtney Dagger and Alyssa Sheridan over at HubSpot for joining us on the podcast this week. This episode was produced at New Breed by me, Chris Singelman, and Wesley Clyde.
If you like what you're listening to, please drop us a review or subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. Your support helps us reach a wider audience.
You can explore more of our resources, including videos, blogs, and guides at newbreedmarketing.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon.